and welcome back to another episode of This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
Let's jump right into it.
All right, so we had this $500 million that we had to get rid of. So we bought Joe, which is owned by Greenfield, and they own a bunch of other stuff. But this is in Europe, they're huge.
Like David Hasselhoff huge
nice. In Europe.
So what do they do?
So it's a price comparison and Web 2.0 community, blah, blah, blah. So a bunch of members there. This is the featured member that you can actually see. But a bunch of people put stuff on, product reviews, everything you need to do around shopping. So I think the integration here is Live and /MSN.
And that cashback thing that we have.
So. Yeah. So maybe they'll try to expand this to non-Euro countries, too.
Oh, cool. I didn't realize it was Europe today only. You can't even use it in the U.S. even though it's
you can.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's like primarily for a euro.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
Got it.
Half bill.
Okay.
Stephen Wilson's writes to us and he's got a nice little drawing here that you can see. So down at Framework before, and every time they release a new service pack or a new version of the framework, they need to upload the source code, the reference framework code.
Right. So we talked about this about 4 or 5 months ago. Scott Guthrie had a big blog post about how they're making all the source code for the .NET Framework base class libraries available, right?
Right.
So that you can, to help you debug. It's basically it's licensed to help you debug.
Right. Exactly right. So source code is available, and you can see some of the differences here between the reference code and what you could get if you didn't have the reference code to debug into. One is you can't actually see line-by-line debugging and see variables immediate watch. But you can see in Reflector, clearly doesn't have comments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here you can see some random comments on some of the things that you need to worry about inside the code for setting boundaries for a get client size private method.
Nice.
So, yeah, so it's cool stuff and available now.
Okay, cool. So changing your garbage control settings on the fly with system.runtime.gc settings.
Yeah,
we were just talking about this the other day. Rolls off the tongue.
We were talking about this, with your girlfriend probably over lunch and
taking out the trash.
And yeah, it was Sarah Palin and garbage collection.
Exactly.
Yes. We're obsessed with her, but that's a different story. So garbage collector.
Right.
So one of the things they added in SP1 was a latency setting, so you can actually set it to low latency, and you can set it on the fly.
Oh, okay.
So let's say for whatever reason our application needs to just not have any sort of user experience latency.
Going into a rendering function or whatever.
Something where you want to make sure there's no latency, you don't get a GC collect. You can actually set this on the fly and then change it back. So, but the nice thing is Rick actually has a 5-part series, so if you're new to garbage collection in the .NET framework, he'll take you through it and talk about some of the changes in SP1.
First generation, second generation, all that stuff.
Exactly.
Garbage collection.
Exactly right.
Nice.
So, yeah. So,
cool.
Check it out, system.runtime.gc settings.
Okay.
So, your stuff, VSTS and TFS.
So, top 10 VSTS and TFS articles. So, where did this come from? This was antcurry.com.
Yes.
So, just an interesting list. This is just one person's selection of VSTS and TFS articles.
Right.
We have a huge community of both product team members and Microsoft Value Professionals, MVPs, who are out there blogging every day about VSTS and Team Foundation Server. So, this is just the tip of the iceberg and one person's view on what those top 10 articles are. But it's interesting to take a look at the list. A couple mentions of Team Foundation Server eventing.
Yeah.
So, you were surprised by this, but really, if you want to do anything that relies on, let's say, I want to know when you checked in code, or I want to know when a build completes, and you want to hook that over to some other external process, then that's what the eventing system is for. And so there's a lot of things you can do with that. So, interesting to see that show up twice, but, a lot of people do want to integrate that with their own homegrown apps or third-party apps or have you.
The way I look at it is I think one of the ones that I didn't see on this list was actually some of the performance tools. Like, because they just look at a bread and butter developer and
like right, the profiler.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like how am I going to see, and obviously they have web testing for load
right.
In the list, but like I, developers that maybe they're coming from 2003 and they're just migrating either to 2005 or 2008, mm-hmm. or have never used Team System before, have no experience with their profiling tools.
Right.
So they can actually see and measure how the performance goes and actually have performance runs mm-hmm. As part of the check-in. There's just a number of things where I was surprised it didn't get mentioned
yeah.
versus eventing.
Right. part one and part two.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Yeah, I guess what do you want for a top 10 list?
So. Yeah. So, and Agile was the other one that I was surprised,
right.
just because there's such a big movement around Agile programming.
Right.
So Ben Hall's blog. So speaking of MS Build, mm-hmm. Some of the sensibilities, it's the MS Build community tasks. So this is a series of community MS Build tasks that do things like, okay, after you're finished building,
build an MSI or
yeah,
send
build
an email.
Yeah, yeah, send an email. Upload a FTP a file
yep.
to our new website. This one is showing how to use the zip. So like, okay, so I just rebuilt a new version. Mm-hmm. I now want to have a zipped version as part of my MS Build process. So that
right.
way it'll actually, the classic example is people that are doing projects on CodePlex.
Mm.
So it's like, okay, I got to upload my latest release, and here's the release. Boom, it's already done for you. It takes
right.
care of all the release files and puts it in for you.
Right.
So he shows how to do some of the more gnarly. I wouldn't say gnarly, but...
you just said gnarly, so
yeah.
you would say gnarly. But
yeah. I wouldn't say.
but
if you're not familiar with MS Build syntax, right? So you just didn't know some of the keywords for making sure to grab all the files under /release, for
yeah.
example.
I got to say, MS Build, you know, I've been looking at it for a few years now, and I don't think I could sit down and write my own MS Build task from scratch.
Exactly.
It's pretty difficult, but we're doing some things in the next
release. Is it gnarly?
I wouldn't say it was gnarly, but we're doing some things in the next release of Team Foundation Server, which should make a lot of this much easier. And that's all I'm going to say for now.
Yeah. Oh, so Rosario, you guys are going to make this easier?
Rosario, less gnarly.
Yeah,
that's our tagline.
Should that be the tagline?
yeah.
I mean, 30% less gnarls.
Nice.
Oh, good time. Okay, so on to warfare. because it's a natural transition. So Robo Games in 2009 is going to have a new contest called Mech Warfare. So this is really cool. Our friends at Trosten Robotics, you can go to TrostenRobotics.com. They're actually setting this up, and there's two classes. So one is what's called the Airsoft class.
Right.
That's where like you have some projectile, and it's trying to hit like a target, and they have sensors on the target to see if it's shot, and you shoot something four times, and it's fine.
Which is kind of the way that they play the table-based Mech Warrior. You know, they kind of set up. If you've ever seen them set up, it's pretty cool. They look at the line of sight, the trajectory.
Oh, is this at your Magic the Gathering parties that
we weren't going to talk about that on the air? No, I don't play. I would love to have the time to. But
my warlock has summoned a demon to.
But now it's actually making that real with robots, right?
Yeah. So then the other class. This is the big gun category. This is like what you're used to seeing in probably more like BattleBots. In like CO2 cartridges, you're talking rockets to explode on the other mechs. You're talking flamethrowers.
Oh man!
Now here's the craziest part: is normally like if you're looking at BattleBots, it's people driving like where they're looking over the thing.
Right.
You're in this environment and it's multi-city, multi-level, and you don't actually know the configuration. But there's has to be a camera point of view. So you have to drive through your robot's camera.
Wow. So, that's wicked.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the competitions are going to be great. And if nothing else, for the video of seeing these two robots fight with a 3D point of
yeah.
view and the aerial point of view.
We've got to find out how we can cover that. That would
yeah,
be
we got to find a way to go to that. So some really cool stuff by Trosten.
Nice.
Yeah.
GameFest.
Yes.
Back when I was on the XNA team, we would have these big GameFest conferences, and you know,
they still do.
They still do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't die when I left, thankfully. So all the audio recordings from those sessions are now available.
Yeah.
Which I think is unprecedented, because in the past, GameFest has always been kind of a closed-door event. You have to be in the game
right.
industry to get, but now anyone can just go out to download.microsoft.com and grab those sessions. I like the one you've got highlighted here.
Which is, it was blowing stuff up the Bungie way. Now, when you actually download the zip file, instead of the word stuff, they have another four-letter word for...
Huh. Couldn't imagine what that would be.
Yeah,
but,
it begins with S, ends with T.
Nice.
Hi. So, yeah, so anyways, the cool part is it goes, like, that session actually goes through how they do, like, particle animations for, like, a carbine gun, so, and, right. and the thousands of ways that they do where, you know, an explosion will actually blow parts of something off, for example. Yeah. Tons of detail there. Another interesting one is how they're using SQL Server, so they have somebody from the Xbox Live team talking about how the larger these games are and on live games, some of the performance characteristics so you can use SQL Server to build games.
Nice.
So some really interesting stuff. And I think, what was the other one? Oh, Silverlight. So casual gaming with Silverlight too.
Oh, okay.
Which was interesting. And I think it was Tim Heuer and a couple of MVPs did that one as well. So check them out. There's always a lot of stuff. And even just the advanced debugging Visual Studio session is always good for anybody.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Those guys, game developers more than any other industry I know, they really, you know, you live and die by your debugger and your profiling ability. So
yeah, so lots of cool stuff. And even a first look at D3D11. So.
Oh, nice. And if you like that kind of stuff, Game Developer Magazine, I've been getting that for a long time. It's got a lot of really cool articles. And you can find out, you know, that game that I just got done playing, how was the rendering engine?
How much are they paying you for this nice little advertisement there?
Game Developer Magazine. Use referral code Brian Kell.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. We should start getting ads.
We should.
We'd actually get, like, a crazy studio. And anyways, so speaking of other cool applications, this is a WPF application. It's a ClickOnce app, though. Mm-hmm. Called Silverlight Spy. So what it does is you navigate to, say, Hard Rock's memorabilia site.
Right.
It shows you...
Which is built in Silverlight.
Oh, right. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Just a detail.
I think it's memorabilia.hardrockcafe.com, or is it Hard Rock? Memorabilia.hardrock.com.
Okay.
So it gives you the DLL and everything you need to do to actually walk through the tree view of all the controls. So you can actually see a stack panel has these two button controls, and it's using these image controls, etc. So everything you need to know to see how that XAML actually worked for those apps.
Yeah, and so this is more for someone who wants to reverse engineer and figure out how to do that themselves.
Yes.
Not necessarily the person that, you know, I built this and I want to debug it or break it down, right?
Yeah, at the same time, maybe you do want to, like, you're using the application, you're like, why wasn't this value set? Why is this text box field not enabled?
Sure.
And you can go and you can click and it's like, oh, it is enabled. The problem is it's nested in another thing that is disabled, for example.
Okay. Gotcha.
Or whatever those things can be. So you can actually navigate the tree view and see the properties.
Right.
So, but yeah, the nice thing is dissecting any Silverlight app.
Yeah, that's wiki cool.
And it's really cool. I was playing with it earlier. So speaking of Silverlight, so this is another example we were talking about earlier, which is you can actually dynamically download Silverlight. Rather than just random XAML, you're actually downloading... this example shows how to do an async call to download an XAP file, which is like basically an assembly package of files. Kind of
like a deployment of... like a jar.
Exactly.
Java jar.
See, yep. I was trying to relate it to J-sharp for you.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So you download that, you set a couple of objects, and the code goes through how to do this, but like in the example, they show clicking a button that'll dynamically load a user control within another assembly that's on another server.
Okay.
And doing this all asynchronously. So the idea is you can actually have your Silverlight applications dynamically upload or just have sort of just-in-time payment for performance. So let's say you have like an application where if you included everything, it would be like 5 minutes.
Okay, sure.
You don't need to include everything and be really lightweight and see like, okay, yeah, I want to load this app, this app, this app.
Right.
And then it does that just-in-time.
Or you can imagine a mashup engine being built around this technique.
Pop fly.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Could be. Yep. So cool stuff, and it's all the code's available as well. So this is from the Swiss DPE team.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So Windows Home Server, you're getting a Windows Home Server.
I am. So
nice.
So here's the problem is I had Windows Server 2008 with TFS, and I still need to do my SQL 2008 upgrade. But you cannot find any sort of backup software for Windows Server 2008 for the hobbyist.
Oh, yeah?
It is ridiculously expensive to do any sort of backups. Plus, Vista doesn't have, or even Ultimate doesn't have tools to do auto backups to a network drive. You actually have to do that via command line. So
no.
At some point I was like,
Man.
So then you can do a scheduled task for command line. All this. I was like, you know what? I used to have Home Server, and I just like... ran the client application, and it was so easy to have my machines backed up.
Right.
So the family got a 1.5. It was when a daddy loves her mommy. So I read that to my wife, and we got a, let's see, I think it's Western Digital has what's called a mirror drive. So it's a 2 gig drive, but it's 1 gig size, and it's mirrored within the
Terabyte.
2 terabyte.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's 1 terabyte mirrored, so like that way you have instant backup within there. So I'm going to have that plugged into the Windows Home server, so have 1.5 terabytes of backup.
Nice, and
so
then you can let go of the network admin you hired to work in your home office and do all those manual backups.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. It's going to be a shame to let him loose. But
yeah, you know. Yeah. Well, yeah, his job's going to India, and that's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
So... in that I'm going to India.
Right.
So, vacation. So,
so what is this? What does that have to
do with
anything?
Yeah, man, way to rat hole us. Okay, so some of the guidelines they talk about. So, if you're developing add-ins for Windows Home Server, you can actually follow their guidelines for, and they have like screenshots you can see here on the good and the bad of how to design add-ons and using their property windows and so forth.
So this is a style guide. It's a recommendation guide. But, you know, as myself, like an example, I go home and I download applications for my media center.
Yeah.
And it's night and day difference to see who followed their style guidelines for conforming to the look and feel and the UI versus those who didn't. So like My Movies, great application, really follows the guidelines. But, you know, for every My Movies app, there's 5 or 6 others that just don't really behave correctly in front of a 10-foot UI. So nice to see they've done the same thing here with the Windows Home Server.
Yeah, it's the guidelines are really nice, I have to say. So cool. I was looking through them for my add-on, which will be a separate conversation. So getting the list of installed applications using Link. So what this does is, so how much do you know about the registry? Is it like just kind of like magic to you?
Well, I mean, sort of. I mean, back in the day, anything you wanted to do to your computer, you looked up the registry setting for it, and you went into the registry, and it told you exactly what to do. But you don't really know without having someone tell you, change that registry key.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I only have known locations of stuff.
Exactly.
But it's kind of... It's a big black box. It's a huge one. Well, maybe it's a white box. You can go in and see the stuff. But anyways, one of the things that I didn't know about was just pulling in the uninstall for the local machine. So it gives you, by pulling in the uninstall, you can actually see all the applications that are installed.
Oh, right, because those are the list of applications you have the option to uninstall.
Yeah, that have registered themselves as installed applications. So it doesn't mean just like straight up any XE.
Right.
It means applications uninstall, like in your add or remove programs.
Yep.
Anyways, this shows you how to do a link query to actually pull those up, which is super easy. So just shows a simple example of how to use the registry plus link.
Okay. Cool.
Quick, easy, painless.
And speaking of things I don't understand that are complete black boxes to me.
Yeah, this
SVC
one.
SVC host viewer. So you found this on Codeplex, right?
Yeah. Somebody had linked to it. I think it might have been Greg Duncan, actually.
Okay, nice. Yeah. And so, you know, you're trying to figure out why your system's crawling. You open up Task Manager, and you've got SVC host. And you're like,
yes, multiple
WTF,
SVC hosts.
SVC host, yep.
Who is this guy? What are they doing?
Exactly.
I think I just wrote the new Seinfeld ad.
There you go. So this SVC host viewer actually helps you inspect that process,
right?
And figure out what, who's, when did it start? What are the processes?
What are the processes that are running inside of it?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So and there obviously are some cisternal tools that do a lot of the SVC host cracking, as Clint reminded us. Mm-hmm. But the nice thing is this is in C#, so you could actually do your own things and log. The reason why I wanted to do it was actually log to see what are the processes over time inside of SVC host that are killing it, right? So you could actually see, like, what is my user behavior in terms of CPU?
Gotcha.
And is there something, like, really I should just have completely turned off?
Like, wow. That's
generally... Wow is not an option to turn off, for God's sakes. Jeez. Chad K is going to say EVE Online, but no. Anyways.
Nice.
So, our shirts.
Yep. Yep.
I got my Miami Gators. Go ahead.
So, this weekend, we're heading down to my home, the Swamp, University of Florida, Gainesville.
Nice.
So, we're going to go check out the game, watch the University of Florida Gators dominate the Hurricanes, assuming that the real Hurricanes don't keep us from actually getting there.
Yeah, so an actual hurricane is coming to that area, which ought to be amusing.
Yep. But
So the reason we're bringing this up is because we actually have a bet, right?
Yes.
So it's next. Is it going to be next episode?
Yeah, next show.
Next show. The winner of the game gets to choose what the other person is going to wear during this week on Channel 9. So
next week you'll see Dan wearing whatever I want him to. So send me your suggestions.
Yeah, and Brian will be naked as a jaybird.
And if you
didn't expect that one, did ya?
And painted like a hurricane
with just a Channel 9 head.
Nice. But if you will be in Gainesville, we're actually going to be partying down there.
Yes, if you're a Niner and you happen to be in Gainesville, come join us and we'll have fun.
Yep, brian.keller@microsoft.com. Just shoot me an email and we'll hook it up.
Yeah, it'd be great. Cool. Awesome. So let's go to the picks of the week.
Yeah. So my pick of the week isn't directly related to developer, but I think it's rather trendy. You know, we talk about a lot of software that you use on a daily basis moving to the cloud. You were talking about wanting to back up your
system. Yeah, so now that I have 1.5 terabytes being backed up on home server, it probably is a good idea to use a service like Mozy or one of those to actually back up directly online.
Right. And here in the U.S., you know, I think Comcast is the majority leader in terms of internet service providers, and Comcast is imposing a 250-gigabyte bandwidth cap, which today, you know, October 2008, that may not be a big deal, but as you move forward into a year from now, you know, I'm getting all my HD movies downloaded to my machine, I'm backing up everything to the cloud. Let's say you back up just your laptop alone, and that could eat up that 250 gigabytes.
Yeah, so you literally do your backup of one machine, and you're down. Done.
You're done for the month.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
January 2nd. Where do I go from here?
And I got live mesh. And do you remember the numbers in terms of the HD video where you can watch, like, what? What is it
1.1
like?
1.1 HD video per day is what they're saying, what they're estimating.
Okay.
Which, you know, sometimes on the weekend I want to have a Godfather marathon. So, boom, I'm already hosed.
Yeah, yeah. So I think this sucks, but hopefully capitalism will kick in. And more importantly, Verizon. If Verizon had Fios in my neighborhood, I'd get it instantly.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so this should hopefully churn competition.
Yeah. So I know that we're going to get all the flames from the people down in Asia and Australia.
You guys are spoiled.
Yeah. Because, I mean, other people today already have to pay
for bandwidth.
We
have to kill our own siblings to be able to get this kind of bandwidth.
Yep. So anyway, interesting tidbit. I thought that'd be interesting to watch develop. So that's my pick of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly a controversial one.
Yep.
So my pick of the week is Ask the Brain. So this is Brianna the Brain, and we have a video, actually, we can go to so you can see. But it's an interactive thing similar to Subservient Programmer. Subservient Programmer. So you can ask her questions like, what is C#? Mm. Who the hell are you? Et cetera, et cetera. But let's go to a clip.
All right, you want to start talking? Okay, here we go. Okay, well, I'm a brain in a jar. Whippy, awesome. Oh, and I'm a woman. I'm a woman brain. Yes, I know, you're shocked. Shocker, you thought a brain in a jar would be a man. I'm a woman brain who used to be a smoking hot chick with a smoking hot body and one of the world's greatest developers. I have Don Box and Chris Anderson calling me to fix their bugs, and I've got Ray Ozzie on redial. Oh, Rubik's Cube, where I challenge the brain, where I... Boom! Remember that chick from the Doritos commercial a few years back? Hotter than her. I was smoking hot. Men didn't like me from a brain, do you know what I'm saying? Years ago, I was considered the single greatest developer in the world. I rewrote Outlook over a weekend, and just for the fun of it, I did it in IL. And it didn't hurt that I was freaking smoking hot. Harder than Jessica Alba before she got knocked up. I was considered one of the smartest people in the world, making $27 million a year, and I could outcode the Google PageRanking search application before you could say, cool.
I don't think you're very smart if you're stuck in a jar.
And then I failed. It was PC 2005 when my whole world turned upside down. Everything changed for me. I forgot to register for PDC 2005. I thought, yeah, I'm the greatest developer in the world. They'll let me in. Oh, you're so, hilarious. Let's draw lips on the brain in the jar. Hilarious. Tickets sold out. Commerce went on without me. People began questioning my abilities to develop. Can I get a drink? 4 months later, I was homeless. 6 months later, I'm in a jar. I was so much hotter than her. Look, I know why you're here. Let's just cut to the chase, right? Because PDC 2008 registration is right around the corner, and you want to know if the Bobby Fischer developing is going to register in time. So much hotter than her. Brain freeze. Oh, that's f***ing hilarious. Oh, brain freeze. Get out of here with that shit. Get out of here. Leave the mocha. Don't insult me. I live by my motto. You fail once, it happens. You fail twice, you might as well work for Yahoo. Oh, real, real funny. Next time I see you, I'm going to run over your dog with my Volvo. This looks like a good time to plug my website. It's askthebrain.net. It's got ads. Yes, genius, you ask the brain a question, and yes, it gives you an answer. Can I get a drink? I'm getting my life back on track. I won't be in a jar forever. After PDC 2008, I'm back in the game, baby. My body, my brains, and my bottle of wine or two. And I was smoking hot.
So all part of our march towards PDC 2008.
Yeah, yeah. So the cool part is this is a Silverlight application, mm-hmm. and similar to Subservient program, we're going to be releasing the source code for it, too.
Or you could use Silverlight Spy today to figure out all the things that you could ask the brain.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep. That's the fastest way to steal copyright-protected content. Good call.
Nice.
Excellent. So I think that's it.
So go Gators.
Go Canes.
See you next week. Right.